Let's look into the word this morning, brothers and sisters. I want to ask a question this morning of a simple question right at the start, really. But before I ask that question, let's turn to the scripture. Let's go to the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and then reading from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise God. Now, I want to turn this off. Can I turn this off? Can't stand that noise. It's whirring away. It says in this scripture that we must put on, in verse 11, the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, it says. Well, let me ask you a question. Who's unable to dress themselves? What kind of person can't dress themselves? Babies. Babies, they can't dress themselves. Now we're all adults in here. The children have gone out. Would you put your hand up, please, if you're a baby, unable to dress yourself? See, no one will admit to it. But my concern is that there may be some who are, in fact, unable to dress themselves. It's a sad thing, but it is something that we have to look at. Because it says about people who dress themselves some things. It says that they're dressed for battle. So when you have someone who is dressed, who has taken up the scriptural call to dress themselves, there's a sense of duty and call to their lives. They're not apathetic. Let me tell you this. If you're apathetic about the things of God, there's a real problem with your life. Seriously, I'm not going to address this in a light way. This is very serious. If you're apathetic about the things of God, there's real potential issues in your life. I mean, it could be very serious. There ought not to be any apathy with a Christian, because the Christian has the greatest charge ever given to mankind. There's nothing like the gospel of Jesus on planet Earth. I mean, if you were involved in business and if you had, you know, if you're a big shot businessman, we heard our brother talking about, you know, these people who were really all about making money and, you know, that was the goal of their lives. That was the, big deal. As soon as life finishes, that's it. All the work, all the accomplishment, it's ended. It's over. In eternity, it means nothing. But what's of great value for eternity is what did we do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, I want to be a millionaire with people that have come to the Lord. A millionaire of souls for Jesus. Now you're talking. Now that's exciting. And the armor of God has been provided to us, but it says that we have to put it on. He has provided everything. It's finished. At Calvary, his work was finished. But he gives us the charge and the responsibility of putting on and dressing for battle. Put on righteousness. Put on these things that will equip us for the warfare that we've been called to walk in. But the truth of the matter is that so often people just lounge through life. And we're not called to lounge through life. We're called to walk through life with a keenness, always alert, being prepared in season and out of season with this gospel news that we have. You know, society that we live in has nullified the gospel. Sadly, even many churches have nullified the truth of the gospel. But the gospel is the most beautiful, if I can use the word radical, life-changing thing that's ever been given to humanity. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you, if you are a believer, have been metamorphosized, the Greek says. Metamorphosized, changed from one species of being into another species of being. That's how radical the change is. There's no such thing as black and white and yellow and red or whatever the political establishment does. There's none of that in the gospel. None of that in the gospel. The only thing that matters in the gospel is this. Do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, then you've been metamorphosized into a new species of being. And that new species of being now walks through this world, walks through this life, charged with the gospel of Jesus, committed as an ambassador of the gospel of Jesus to do the work of the kingdom. You see? That's a really big charge that he's given to everyone. But the enemy tries to subdue us and tries to get us to think, well, I'm just, and I'm not, and I'm not. And people end up, there's no joy in their lives. So they're living po-faced, and yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. You're meant to have abundant life if you're a Christian. Life abundant, joy. And a sense of, I love that song. We used to sing it when I first became a Christian. It was such a lovely song. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. There is a river of life flowing out from me. It's the life of God. And it's a God who loves this world. And he gave me the equipment, the armor to put on. But he tells me, be responsible, be a grown-up, Steve, and put it on. I mean, put it on. Don't just leave it there. And so, as we look to the things that he's called us to put on, let's consider them. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having girded your waist with truth. Very interesting. Where it says waist there, the Greek word is loin. And the inference of the loin is the reproductive organs, that which multiplies. That's what the Greek says. It's that which multiplies. So gird up the loins. With what? With truth. With truth. Have you noticed, church, how often we're getting back to truth? If you do a study of the New Testament on truth, you find truth is such an important subject. You find the subject of truth is right there throughout. Jesus calls himself the truth. Pilate says, "What is truth?" We who worship Jesus must worship God, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is absolutely essential. Why is it essential? Because the lies are the tool of the enemy. The flaming arrows of the enemy are often the lies of the enemy. So how do you protect yourself from those lies? As you walk as a soldier of God through this world and the arrows come flying at you, the weapons of his warfare are lies so often. And sometimes they're very subtle lies. They're lie, all sorts of lies. Lies about you as an individual. Lies about you as a person. You're no good. You failed again. You're useless. You'll never do this. You'll never do that. You'll never accomplish this. It's because of this. It's because of your parents. It's because you come from a family where this happened. It's because of all sorts of reasons. It's all lies. All lies. Shooting from the enemy of our faith. But that's why the truth is so important. Because unless you have the truth, you don't put out the lies quickly. But if you have the truth, you put them out quickly. That's why it talks about the shield of faith. But we're not going there just yet. I don't think we'll get there this morning. But they're connected in that way. And it's so beautiful, the connection. So, think on this, the truth. But I want you to understand what that word truth means. The word there in the Greek for truth is truth, but let me convey the meaning of the word. It's an idea, and that idea then being the reality. So it's not truth as some sort of cerebral concept. Or it's truth as in the reality of what something actually is. So it's knowing that truth. It's sincerity. The inference of the word truth there is a sincerity, truth in the moral sphere of life. It's divine truth as it's revealed from God to us. The inference there is also straightforwardness. Have you dealt with people and they're always wriggling around? You know, they sort of... They say one thing, but they think they're being clever because they say things in such a way that you can't quite pin them down. Do you know what I mean? They wangle things and they manipulate what you've said and they just twist things and but it's not being straightforward. Straightforwardness is a part of this truth. So this is a call for us now to have these components, to be straightforward. You know, to live this way that's clear and have reality, sincerity, have moral truth. a straightforwardness. And where it says reality, it's the opposite of an illusion. You know, there's sometimes people give an illusion of what their lives is like. You know, people can come to church and they can smile and they say, "How are you doing?" So, "Oh, very well, thanks very much. Yeah, everything's well." And then, oh, dear me, they go out. It's a whole different picture. I mean, it's really different picture sometimes. And now that's not truth. That's not right. That's not being straightforward. That's being one thing in front of, that's manipulation. You're one thing in front of people, but then, you know, not really being honest about who you truly are. God is saying to us, listen, one of the first things we have to do if we put on the armor of God is to be, have your loins, that which reproduces, girded with the truth, so that we live with that truth as part of the fiber of our being, something that is a core feature in our lives. That's why things like this are important. Understanding the truth. Because there's lies on top of lies. Modern life is a tissue of lies. So often. Just lies upon lies upon lies. And for the Christian, knowing the truth will cut through those lies. And so that the right word coming from you will cut through into someone's life. There's something about the truth that resonates deep within someone. You can have people pussyfooting around with political correctness and everyone's talking about, and then someone comes in with the truth, bang, and you know it's the truth. And the truth sets people free. When it says the truth sets people free, you know, it's not just talking about Bible. It means Bible as a truth. Absolutely it does. But it's talking about all truth. And all truth in this context is from God. All truth. Everything. So there's a sense of someone who is a true person. And he's called us to be those people. And that can take courage. In order to live truthfully, we have to take courage at times. Such as the pressure to compromise and not be straightforward. Is this making sense? Let's look at the second part of this, because the second part is very important and so connected. It says this, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The truth is, dear brothers and sisters, we have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what does that mean? Okay. I have my loins girded with truth. The part that reproduces is girded with truth. The breastplate now is righteousness. A breastplate covers the heart and all the vital organs for life. And the breastplate is righteousness. Righteousness is my breastplate. Knowing that I am righteous. That's what protects the vital and important things for life. If those organs aren't working, life doesn't carry on. So righteousness protects that which is vital for life. You say, well, what is that righteousness? Well, that righteousness is you recognizing that you are righteous, that you are the righteousness of God in Him. That's who you really, truly are. And I sense that there's a journey that some need to take with regards to that in this room. I think that people have heard me preach on this before. I've sort of touched on similar things before, but it's not sunk in. And really, please, this morning, let this sink in. I really would love you to let this sink in. And it takes repetition. It takes an ongoing understanding. It doesn't just, you take it in once and that's it. It takes ongoing. Knowing that you are righteous. The breastplate of righteousness is on you. Let me ask a question. Is the breastplate of righteousness on you? Or isn't it on you? Let me make a statement. If it's not on you, you've not got dressed. You're not dressed. If it's not on, you're not dressed. And we've already established, if you're not dressed, you might be a baby. Because babies can't dress themselves. Let me ask the question. Have you put the breastplate of righteousness on? Is it on? Put it on today. And put it on for good. Well, how'd you put it on? Well, what you do is you say about the Bible, you say the Bible is not a suggestion manual from God. The Bible is the Word of God. And the New Covenant is His covenant to me. It's God's contract with me. I mean, this is His contract based on His finished work with me. And so what that says is what I'm expecting as my reality in life. Whatever that says. So then let we go to the New Testament and let's just see about this righteousness that we must put on. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are the righteousness of God in Him. And we have to take that on board and say, this is who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Him. It changes everything in my life. And Romans 1:17. And in Romans 1:17 it says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. as it is written, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So what happens is, the New Testament establishes the truth that we are the righteousness of God. It tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then it explains to us that the righteous shall live by faith. So, once we establish that we are righteous, that we're believers in Jesus, and we say that we are putting on the breastplate of righteousness, we recognize that we are to live by faith. It's by faith now that we live. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that we're not to live by worry. It means that we're not to live by striving. It means we're not to live by our own human efforts and our concerns and our things. We're meant to cast it all to Him, and we're living by faith and the joy of the Lord. So I'm the righteousness of God. I'm happy in Him, knowing that I'm right before Him. I'm walking by faith. I've got my loins girded with truth, and I'm breezing through planet Earth regardless of the circumstances. It doesn't promise at any point that we won't have some circumstances that we're going to have to deal with. In fact, Jesus says, listen, every day is enough trouble of its own. There are difficult things that we'll come across. There's no question. But the point is that once you know that you have this shield of righteousness, because you know who you are, and you have truth, and you're walking by faith, you can approach any circumstance that life throws and rise above it and say, well, I'm not going to be swayed by the circumstances of life. I'm not going to be swayed. And even where, O death, is thou sting? If we die, it's gain. We're with Him. You see, this is the type of mentality that God has called us to, for us to live in faith and victory. Is this making sense? He's not called us to a nice little, you know, religious type life. He's called us as soldiers, as ambassadors in His army. He has equipped us. But we have to be responsible adults and say, yes, I will now choose to walk in that which God has provided for me. We've got to do that, folks. God has provided all of this. He's given it to us. And He says to us, now listen, walk in this. This is the way you must live. He's got great exploits for us. We're only at the start of some great exploits. And only God knows what He's got in store for each individual here. But I know that it's faith and it's victory. I love to see victory, you know, in areas. You want a testimony in an area? Well, He's provided for your victory. Just cooperate and you're going to have a testimony. If you're righteous, you shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. If you're righteous, you shall live by faith. 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 What does it mean to live by faith? Well, living by faith means that faith produces. By faith, Abraham believed. By faith, we speak to mountains and move them. If you're righteous, you will live by faith. Listen to me this morning. Most people in the West, especially, don't exercise their faith muscles as much as God wants them to. They don't have to believe God for food because the government has a provision for them. They don't have to believe God for some shelter from the rain for church because, hey, it's got central heating and running water and everything. But my friends, if that's the case, what's our faith for? If the righteous shall live by faith, what's your faith for? What's your faith for? If you're righteous, you've got to live by faith. So what's your faith for? What are you using your faith for right now? Oh, well, we got this money coming in. And we've got this money going out. There's the total at the bottom there. Everything's taken care of. What's your faith for? God wants us to exercise faith, to speak to mountains in our lives. Speak to mountains. Not speak about the mountains. Isn't it big? Look, it's very big. It's huge. It's massive. You've never seen a mountain like mine. You want to see a mountain? You think you've got a mountain? You want to see my mountain? You look at this mountain I've got. It's got massive. It's so steep. It's huge. It's massive. Your mountain, okay, but you wouldn't see my mountain. And that's how people are. They describe their mountains. God doesn't tell us to describe our mountains. He says, exercise faith and speak and move your mountain. Let me tell you something. If you're not exercising faith, you're not righteous. You're not righteous. Because it says in Romans 1:17, very clearly, the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. There's a commodity that God has put in Christians because we are a new species of being, because we've been metamorphosized into a Christ-like position. He's put something in us that demands we use our faith and not live with the comforts and just being comfortable, and I've got it all planned out, thanks. Well, listen, you're not stretching yourself enough, and this applies to some people this morning. You're not stretching yourself. You got comfortable. A very dangerous place to be, because God could just take the... He does that sometimes, not because he loves us. He loves us. He does it doing... there's a sense in which Paul makes it very clear. Better for us to examine ourselves and make some changes than for us to wait and find out that God will have to do it. He demands of us that we live by faith. This isn't a suggestion list. The just shall live by faith. The righteous must exercise that faith. So, I don't know what God has for you, but I know He has something for you. And that's your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's nothing to do with me. It's between you and Him. Trust me, on that day, you will have to give an account before God for you. You'll have to give an account to God for you and the way you lived and what you did with your life. And I will for me. And God is saying, listen, I gave you these things. I gave you this provision. And I'm calling you to live by faith. Make a demand on yourself. And say, right, I will now, I must stretch myself. This is way too comfortable. I'm just on easy street. And I've just grown comfortable. No more. We've got to live like that. Be uncomfortable. If you don't, you know, you should be uncomfortable at times. It should be uncomfortable. It really, you know, there are times when things need to be uncomfortable. Trust me, our flesh gravitates towards comfort and comfort and comfort. But the spirit person on the inside says, no, I demand more of myself. I must be uncomfortable. There must be a sense of uneasiness with just going on the way things are. I must stretch my faith to believe and speak to that mountain. I must stretch my faith to believe that God has called me to do this or this thing. I can't live without stretching my faith muscles. Because the just shall live by faith. I just encourage everyone here this morning, please, stretch yourself. Live by faith. Live the life that God has called you to live. Know and be confident in Him. The breastplate of righteousness is yours. Know the truth and walk confident and speak to some mountains in your life. Start speaking to mountains, not about them. You know, in 2 Thessalonians 2, there's an interesting scripture. It says, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. God sends on people a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth. What? Has anyone heard that scripture before? This is the word of God. But took pleasure in wickedness, not doing what the Lord has commanded we should do. You know, in the book of Romans, it says this in Romans 2. God is going to render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. It's interesting that that's in the book of Romans, because we've had this mantra that it's not by works, it's by faith, absolutely. It's by grace that you're saved, you know, through faith, not by works. But clearly, Romans 2:6 is saying God is going to render to each person according to his deeds. And the deeds of the flesh must be deeds of faith. The walk of the flesh is a walk of faith for those who have been transformed by Jesus Christ. So God is calling us and he's equipped us and he's saying to us, listen, the truth is this. You are called to speak to some mountains. If you're not speaking to mountains, you're not fulfilling everything that I provided for you or that I called you to do. You're just walking in the natural. And really, that's the summary, folks. The walk of the natural as opposed to the walk of the supernatural. As a Christian, you've been called to walk in the supernatural, not the natural. If your walk in everyday life is very natural, it's not good. Stretch your faith muscles and walk in the supernatural. God has called us for this supernatural life. He's called us to speak to mountains. You say, why do I, you know, I like singing that song, faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Because there's no other way to please God. Faith pleases God. So, as we close this morning, and I invite us all to stand, please. Let me ask you this. Once you've got that truth, the belt of truth on, you've got to... clearly on. You've got the breastplate on of righteousness. And now you're called to live by faith. What are those things in your life at the moment? Things that you can exercise faith for. Family members, perhaps, to come to know Jesus as Savior. Maybe you've been praying for them, but perhaps you've given up. Exercise faith for them now. Exercise that faith muscle right now for them as we close in this prayer that we're going to pray. Maybe it's you sense that perhaps you wanted to do something. There was a need to do something, but yet you've sort of given up on it. But that was from God. That thing was given by God. Ah, but you don't have the money to do it. But no, it's okay. Just exercise faith. He'll provide. It's the supernatural, not the natural. It's good when you don't have the money for it. It's good when you haven't got the resources yourself, because you must exercise faith for that thing. Only faith will do it then. Heavenly Father, as we close this time now, we come to you, Lord, and we ask that our lives will be testimonies of faith. That, Lord, we would see the miracles of God. That we would speak to mountains. That we would exercise the faith that you've given us. That we wouldn't run in a casual way, but we'd run, as the apostle said, as if we are to win the prize. Oh, Father God, we call to you this morning and say, please, Lord, help us exercise that faith that you've given. Help us walk in the righteousness that you've given. And help us know and act on the truth that you've given. Every eye closed, but put your hand up. And say, if you want to say this to God, yes, Lord, I want to exercise my faith in a specific area this morning. I see hands. And we're going to pray a prayer before we close this meeting. Right now, we're going to pray this prayer. And this prayer is this. Heavenly Father, every hand that's raised, every hand that's raised this morning, Lord, we are raising our hands in response to the invite to exercise faith. And Father God, we're asking this morning that as we believe for those things that are on our mind right now, whether they be family, people coming to faith, healing, finances, whatever they be, we bring them to our minds right now and exercise faith in those areas. Father God, your word says, believing, you will receive. Father, we exercise our faith this morning and we believe for those things right now as a choice of our will, yielded to you, exercising faith. Heavenly Father, reveal yourself to us, we pray in this. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus our Savior, amen.